The move to open source is gaining momentum. The Energy Department says it's making the move soon, and the State Department's Tech at State event focused on open source software. Paul Swider, Foreign Service Officer and New Media Advisor at the State Department, is here to talk about it. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
When you set up the Tech at State conference, what was the goal for people who showed up to see it, to be there?
Well, there was a variety of people there. I mean, there were a lot of government employees. There were a lot of folks from interested in development activities and private sector and so forth. The goal, like all Tech at State events, is to bring together some disparate groups, people that don't always gather and meet up, and bring them together around a given topic so that they can meet and they can discuss this and share information and develop collaborations. So, some of the folks that came there wanted to learn more about open source in government, wanted to learn more about it in use for foreign affairs or for development activities. Some were already experts in the area and just wanted to kind of extend their reach and connect with some new people. And some were, somewhere in between. So it was quite a variety.
Are technology people at the State Department starting to get comfortable with the idea of open source? For a long time, there was a little bit of queasiness around open source for security reasons and some other reasons. Are some of those concerns starting to go away?
I think they're starting to. It really depends on which sector you talk to. Some people are very comfortable with it, and really, deep down in our systems, there's a fair amount of open source, as is the case in a lot of government agencies and a lot of corporations. But most people don't realize that because it's beyond the user interface. But it's gaining a lot of acceptance. And then the memo that Vivek Kundra and others issued earlier this year, kind of directing people to evaluate open source on a level playing field with other software options. That helps people, helps bring a level of comfort as well.
It kind of nudges them towards something that they may or may not already be predisposed to want to experiment with?
Yeah, well, it gives some level of top cover that says this is not some foreign thing that you need to treat with great caution. It's software like any other software. The idea of open source is hardly novel. And we went into a lot of that throughout the course of the Tech at State event. A lot of the myths and misconceptions, a lot of the history, and I'm hoping that the folks who attended and the folks who watched online, who didn't already have some knowledge, have picked up a lot from that, and all the feedback we've gotten suggests that.
Are there applications where open source software is appropriate as opposed to something proprietary, or does the end use not matter so much as the way the software is constructed as during the process?
Yeah, it's probably a complicated question, and I'm sure it's going to be highly situational, but I think the general position for certainly the federal CIO and for other folks is look at your problem and then look at the possible solutions, and if the correct solution is an open source piece, then feel free to go and use that. If the correct solution is proprietary, then that's where you need to go. But you shouldn't be driven by, the licensing model of the software. It should be, what does it do?
Yeah. What is ultimately the use of open source software or the spread of the use of open source software mean for the State Department overall?
There's a lot of layers to that, too. I would suspect that it's really just broadening our opportunities to select appropriate solutions to whatever it is that we're doing, and the same would go for any government agency. But it's not as though this is some sort of magic bullet. In some cases, a given piece of open source may not be the right solution. But when you kind of open your eyes to all the possibilities, you're going to put yourself in a better position to choose the right tool.
You mentioned that this Tech at State event covered some of the misconceptions, the myths of open source software. What were some of those, or maybe what were some of the ones that some of the attendees were surprised actually were myths that weren't true?
Well, I mean, you'd have to ask the attendees that, because different people came in with different preconceptions. But security has always been one of those issues, and that's largely dispelled, I think, by the fact that the Department of Defense is very actively involved in open source, and they're quite careful about what they use and how they use it. Some of the myths and misconceptions are on the other side, the idea that open source is free. Well, it may be free off the shelf, but that doesn't mean it's going to be free to operate forever. So there are lots of different ways to examine the issue. But you know, one of the other common things is, well, you know, if I buy something from a proprietary vendor, anytime anything breaks, I can go back to them. They'll fix it. They'll always have the solution. And I think a lot of examples, a lot of people's experience would tell you that that's not always the case. The original coder may leave. The documentation may be lagging. You've got a different support model with open source, and it rests with the individual experience as far as whether that's appropriate or not. But they're not exactly. It's not exactly obvious that the proprietary is definitely going to provide you a better level of service. It's very dependent on what you're doing and how you're doing it.
You mentioned that open source software was the focus of a Tech at State event, implying that it's not the only one. Tell me about the Tech at State series as a whole, who comes to them, and some of the other topics that have been covered.
Well, it's about a year old, not quite a year old. It started in May of last year, sort of as an ad hoc event. We wanted to get some folks together to review the way that we in the State Department and other partners outside use technology in some novel ways in terms of earthquake relief after the Haiti earthquake, because we did do some interesting things. A lot of people did a lot of interesting things, and we participated in those. So we gathered folks in May of last year for a half-day conference to talk about that and see, you know, where can we go with this. And the event was very well received, so we said, hey, why don't we make this a regular ongoing thing? So we've established it as a quarterly event. And again, like I said before, we bring together folks who are interested in diplomacy and development, foreign affairs, and the technology community. The folks that wouldn't necessarily meet up in the course of their daily lives, we bring them together around topics that do have a common interest to see what might develop. So that first one was about Haiti earthquake relief. In August, we did one about mobile money, mobile financial services. In November, we did another about Civil Society 2.0, which is an initiative out of the Secretary of State's office to basically apply novel technology solutions for civil society organizations overseas. This last one was on open source. In between, we sort of co-branded one with the Secretary's office on M-Women, mobiles for women's development overseas. So they're an ongoing series. We have not yet picked a topic for the next one, which will probably be somewhere in May, but we're entertaining all kinds of ideas, and we do have a website where people can read about it and view the videos and contribute their ideas. It's a great resource to follow the events.